1 Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think that y'all say you can't do this, you can't do this, and you can't do certain things. It don't matter how long you talk to them. Until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. An optional way, another plate building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Good evening and welcome again to Kingdom of God Ministries. We are so glad that you could tune in today to be with us for our second show. Tonight we will be continuing on speaking about the apostasy, but there are some more things we would like to cover, which is witchcraft. And we were talking last night how subtly witchcraft can come into our homes, into our churches, people unaware. And some people, they may even say, well, I don't do black magic. I might just do a little white magic. But all forms of witchcraft is abomination to God. And he looks at it all the same, whether you call yourself a white witch, whether you call yourself a black witch, a pagan, all these are forms of witchcraft. And some people might say, well, I just do horoscopes. So we're going to just cover that. Tonight we have a 60-minute show. Wow, exciting. And we have an 8-minute clip that we will be playing also. It's a testimony of an ex-witch, and she will go into some detail about the deceptions that has crept in the church. So that will be interesting as well. I wanted to also cover our upcoming talk show. We will be hosting Brother John Ramirez. He has written the book, Out of the Devil's Cauldron, and he is giving his testimony of how he was bound up, I said bound in witchcraft, for over 25 years, and how the power of God broke the chains of darkness off his life, and now he's preaching the gospel. So he will be on air on October 7th, giving his expounding testimony. I just wanted to go into a few scriptures, just letting you know what God really thinks about witchcraft. First, I want to just tell you about a young lady that I work with. She says she's a Christian, and she was telling me that she believed that pagans are good people. She said they just studied, you know, like the environment and trees and nature and things like that. So I asked her, what does she think about what God said about it? Well, basically, you know, this is the attitude of a lot of Christians. If it's not messing with me, then it's okay by me. I don't have a problem with it. But as a child of God and as a messenger of God, these are some of the things that the disciples came out against. And no, I'm not saying it's comfortable all the time, but we have to stand for what is righteous. We have to stand for what is true, because as we said last night, apostasy, false prophets, false teachers is bringing these things into the body of Christ, and they have a lot of Christians deceived because a lot of Christians don't read the Word. They don't even know what the Bible says. So she told me she believes some of the Bible, but she didn't believe all the Bible. Well, if you don't believe all the Bible, then you're defeated right there. Satan can bring any kind of lie to you, and you wouldn't even know if it's true or not. That's why he said we have to test the spirit. We need to test every spirit to see if it's of God. So these are some of the things that God hates. And okay, when you're talking about the things that God hates pertaining to witchcraft, this first particular scripture is speaking about mediums. And I know, you know, they even had a television show called Medium. So now it's just an acceptable thing. You got all types of programming, you know, ghost hunters, mediums. What was the other one where the girl, she would speak with the dead? That's a form of necromancy. Ghost whispers. So all of this is acceptable to society, but you can see how they're gradually introducing their way of thinking. So they could get people so numbed down to it that it's acceptable. And like I said she was a Christian, but it was acceptable. Pagans, oh, they're good people. They don't mess with anybody. Okay, so the Bible says things that God hates. He hates mediums, and this is in Leviticus 20:27. He said, a man also or a woman that has a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. Now, those are strong words, but this is coming from God Almighty. This is what he really thinks about it. And then Leviticus 19:31 says, regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. So now you see, when you say mediums, a lot of times you think of somebody going to a seance and they pulling up, you know, spirits of the dead. Maybe they say, well, I could pull up your grandmother and you could talk to your grandmother. Well, all these are forms of witchcraft. Mediums. They use these mediums so they can channel through them to use those familiar spirits that has followed your bloodline down through the years, so they're familiar with your bloodline. So if it takes the shape of your grandmother, your aunt, or whoever, you're thinking that's your aunt, but really these are demons, familiar spirits, demon spirits. Okay, he said witchcraft. This is in Micah 5:12. Now, I know you don't have time to go through all the scriptures, so you can write them down, and in your spare time, you can just go over them and read them again. I'm just bringing you some knowledge as to how a lot of people look at certain things and they think it's okay. But I'm telling you from the Word of God, this is what the Word of God says about it. Okay, witchcraft. That is in Micah 5:12. And I will cut off witchcrafts out of your hand and you shall have no more soothsayers. 1 Samuel 15:23, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Galatians 5:20-21, the deeds of the flesh are the worship of idols. Remember we talked about idols on last evening. Idols is not only just little statues, but it could be pagan religions. It can be things that you worship, anything that you put before God. It can be American Idol. If you put that before God, that's your idol. It can be sports, like we talked about last night. That can be your idol. Anything that you put, your spouse can be your idol. Your husband can be your idol. Anything that you put before the Lord Almighty God is an idol. So that's why we said last night, we need to search ourselves and see what we are putting before God. And we want to, and Facebook, that can be an idol. Because a lot of times when you're on Facebook, it's just a lot of idle gossip anyway. And the Bible tells us that we will be judged for every what? Idle word that we speak. Okay, so that is talking about idols. Okay, now let's look at magic. This is what God thinks about magic. And, you know, we have the magicians on TV, Chris Angel and all these people. But God say magic. Acts 19:19, it says, and many of them which use curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. So this is when they was renouncing that stuff. They was all involved in it, and so they were becoming Christians. So what they had to do was burn all that stuff, all the witchcraft, all the books. Go through your house. There might be some books, things, tarot cards, or things that's demonic. Get rid of that stuff. Get it out your house because you don't want to open doorways to the occult realm. And then Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable, the sorcerers, magicians, wizards, shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Now, this is God telling them, if you don't repent, you will be judged, and you will not like the end of your judgment, which is to burn in hell if you don't repent. That's the bottom line. This is what the Lord says. He said in Acts 8:9-13, he said, a certain man named Simon bewitched. Remember what we talked about last night? Bewitched, cast a spell. You're mesmerized. You can't reason with your own mind. He said, a certain man named Simon bewitched the people of Samaria with sorceries, magic, to whom all gave heed. He put that spell on them. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the kingdom of God, and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, okay, key word, repented and turned away from sorcery. And this is what I told a young lady. You cannot be a practicing witch and call yourself a Christian. You can't be a Wicca or a Wiccan and sit up in the church, worship in holy hands, and call yourself a Christian. The two don't go together. So you're going to have to make a choice. If you're going to be on God's side, then you need to renounce all that witchcraft, all that black magic, and all that things that is involved in the occult. And repent. He said, turn away. Turn away from sorcery. Don't keep dabbling in it. Don't say, well, Lord, I give you my, I repent of it, but you still got, like I said, tarot cards in your house. You still got Ouija boards. You're still doing the horoscope thing. Turn from it. Get rid of it. And God is saying, this is when I told you about the necromancer, and that is speaking to the dead. And I told you about the mediums, and like I said on television, you see where it was just common for her to, what is it called, the movie? I can't remember it, but she would call ghost whispers, she would call the dead, and it was just a common thing. Well, coming out of my own family, there was a lot of times they would speak with the dead, and that was something that I had to renounce off my bloodline. Because we don't want that spirit to be attached to our generation. So those are some things we had to renounce. He says, speaking to the dead, Deuteronomy 18:10-11, there shall not be found among you anyone that consults familiar spirits or a wizard or a necromancer, one who conjures up the dead. God hates that. These are some of the things he hates. Wicked sacrifices, Psalms 106, 36 through 37. And they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the devil. See, that's how devout they was to their worship, sacrificing their sons and their daughters to the devil. And that's why God hated that, to their gods. Idols, Psalms 115, 4 and 8, their idols were silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. So now you see, listening audience, is nothing to play with. Witchcraft is nothing to play with. The definition of witchcraft, it means that what it is a practice of the occult. It's a supernatural or magical powers, and this is what they thrive on. They want to have the power so they can totally control a person. That's why we have to be careful about how we try to control people, because that can be a form of witchcraft. You don't want to put nobody under your control like that. And so we have to be very careful, especially as Christians, and we need to walk in love, not to try to control anyone. So what I was doing, I was going over the different type of witchcraft, and like I said, there was neo-pagan witchcraft. These are modern practices. Like I said, they're supposed to be the not-so-dark side. So the pagans, they said, are the ones who maybe study the flowers and the earth and things like that. And I told a young lady, I said, well, if they're doing that, 9 times out of 10, they know that there are witches. She said, well, I don't think they really know, but they do know. But it's just a lighter side. You know, Satan always try to smooth things out and not make it look so bad. But really, any form of witchcraft, God said he hates. And if you are in witchcraft, we will have a space at the end of the show where you can renounce the witchcraft, where you can ask God for forgiveness. We will renounce some of the practices of witchcraft. Can't go through all of them because there's tons of them, you know, and we'll just name a few. But if you want to repent tonight, you can do that. You can ask God into your heart. You can repent of it and say, God, I'm sorry, and ask him to come into your heart. Now, we have an 8-minute clip that we will be playing. Like I said, listen carefully. It is the testimony of an ex-witch. And after this segment play, then we will come back on and we'll maybe have a dialogue, talk some more about the scriptures of witchcraft. Then we will open the phone line. So just sit back, relax, listen to this clip, and then we will come back on shortly. It's only 8 minutes, about 7 minutes, okay? All right, be blessed.
I am writing this urgent message because I was once a witch. I lived by the stars as an astrologer and numerologist, casting horoscopes and spells. I lived in the mysterious and shadowy realm of the occult. By means of spells and magic, I was able to invoke the powers of the controlling unknown and fly upon the night winds transcending the astral plane. Halloween was my favorite time of the year, and I was intrigued and absorbed in the realm of Wiccan witchcraft. All of this was happening in the decade of the 1960s when witchcraft was just starting to come out of the broom closet. It was during that decade of the 1960s, in the year 1966, that a woman named J.K. Rowling was born. This is the woman who has captivated the world in this year of 2000 with 4 books known as the Harry Potter series. These books are orientational and instructional manuals of witchcraft woven into the format of entertainment. These 4 books by J.K. Rowling teach witchcraft. I know this because I was once very much a part of the world. Witchcraft was very different in the 1960s. There were a lot fewer witches, and the craft was far more secretive. At the end of that spiritually troubled decade, I was miraculously saved by the power of Jesus Christ and His saving blood. I was also delivered from every evil spirit that lived in me and was set free. However, as I began to attend fundamental Christian churches, I realized that even their witchcraft had left its mark. Pagan holidays and Sabbats were celebrated as Christian holidays. For example, Christmas, which is actually the birthday of Nimrod and not of Jesus Christ. As time went on, I watched the so-called Christian churches compromising and unifying. I also watched with amazement as teachings from Eastern religions and New Age doctrine began to captivate congregations. It was a satanic setup, and I saw it coming. Illuministic conspirators were bringing forth a one-world religion with a cleverly concealed element of occultism interwoven in its teachings. In order to succeed in bringing witchcraft to the world and thus complete satanic control, an entire generation would have to be induced and taught to think like witches, talk like witches, dress like witches, and act like witches. The occult songs of the 1960s launched the Luciferian project of capturing the minds of an entire generation. In the song Sound of Silence by Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel, we were told of seeds that were left while an entire generation was sleeping, and that the vision that was planted in my brain still remains. Now it is the year 2000. All of the foundations for occultism and witchcraft are in place. The Illuminists have to move quickly, because time is running out. It was the communist revolutionary Lenin who said, "Give me one generation of youth, and I will transform the entire world." Now an entire generation of youth has been given to a woman named J.K. Rowling in her four books on witchcraft, known as the Harry Potter series. As a former witch, I can speak with authority when I say that I have examined the works of Rowling and that the Harry Potter books are training manuals for the occult. Untold millions of young people are being taught to think, speak, dress and act like witches by filling their heads with the contents of these books. Children are obsessed with the Harry Potter books that they have left television and video games to read these witchcraft manuals. The first book of the series, entitled Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, finds the orphan, Harry Potter, embarking into a new realm when he is taken to Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry. At this occult school, Harry Potter learns how to obtain and use witchcraft equipment. Harry also learns a new vocabulary, including words such as Azkaban, Cersei, Draco, Irised, Hermes, and Slytherin, all of which are names of real devils or demons. These are not characters of fiction. How serious is this? By reading these materials, many millions of young people are learning how to work with demon spirits. They are getting to know them by name. Vast numbers of children professing to be Christians are also filling their hearts and minds, while willingly ignorant parents look the other way. The titles of the books should be warning enough to make us realize how satanic and antichrist these books are. The aforementioned title of the first book, Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, was a real giveaway. The second book was called Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, while the third book was entitled Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Sadly enough, this blatant witchcraft has been endorsed by well-known and respected Christian leaders. Nothing could be more obvious than that Harry Potter books are pure witchcraft and of the devil. The Christian leaders, however, defend them by saying that good magic always wins and overcomes evil magic. This is the oldest con game ever hatched out of hell. As a real witch, I learned about the two sides of the force. Apparently, so do many Christian leaders. When real witches have sabbats and espats and meet as a coven, they greet each other by saying blessed be, and when they part, they say the force be with you. Both sides of this force are Satan. It is not a good side of the force that overcomes the bad side of the force, but rather it's the blood of Jesus Christ that destroys both supposed sides of the satanic force. High-level witches believe that there are seven satanic princes and that the seventh, which is assigned to Christians, has no name. In coven meetings, he is called the Nameless One. In the Harry Potter books, there is a character called Voldemort. The pronunciation guide says of this being he who must not be named. On July 8 at midnight, bookstores everywhere were stormed by millions of children to obtain the latest and fourth book of the series known as Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. These books were taken into homes everywhere with a real evil spirit following each copy to curse those homes. July 8th was also the 18th day 36s in numerology from the witch's Sabbat of Midsummer. July 8th was also the 13th day from the signing of the United Religions Charter in San Francisco. Now we have learned that the public school system is planning to use the magic of Harry Potter in the classrooms, making the public schools centers of witchcraft training. What does God have to say about such books as the Harry Potter series? In the Bible, in the book of Acts, we read the following in the 19th chapter, verses 18 to 20, "And many that believed came, and confessed, and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them, and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." As parents, we will answer to God if we allow our children to read witchcraft books. The word of God will prevail mightily in your life only if such things of Satan are destroyed. This is a true testimony of a former witch. I am writing this urgent.
So you can see, saints and listening audience, how this is demonic. And when I heard this last Harry Potter grossed over $1 billion, did you hear in the tape where she said the main, he wants to get the generation, this new generation, so he can put this in their mind, so he can put this area of witchcraft over them so it'll be acceptable. So we need, as parents, he said, God will hold the parents responsible. That's why we need to make sure we find out what our children are reading in school, what they're looking at on TV, who they're listening to, because it's in a lot of the music that they listen to. A lot of the musicians have already sold themselves to the enemy. So we need to go through our homes, grandkids, children, make sure that we clean our house. You hear where he said in the book of Acts where they burned all their all curious arts, they burned all that, and they sold it and, you know, got the money for it. But I wouldn't recommend selling it and getting the money. I would just say just throw it away, burn it up if you have to. Any books, anything like that, just burn it up. So now we're going to continue. And I, like I said, after this, we will have a space for you open up. We will open up the lines if you have some questions, if you want some prayer, if you want to do some renunciation of some witchcraft. We will open the lines for you to call in. One thing he said, the first book was The Sorcerer's Stone. I read to you what God thinks about sorcerers, musicians, people in all kinds of divination, what God feels about it, and he doesn't like it. It's not pleasing in his eyesight. So we need to renounce all that right now, clean our hearts out, ask the Lord to come in and forgive us if we've been doing it out of ignorance. Just say, "Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry." If, you know, occasionally you may want to get your horoscope read. Ask God to forgive you. Ask God to come in and remove all that from you, because it can get saturated in your soul and you just think it's natural. You think it's common to get the fortune cookie and read it when you get your Chinese food, or get your horoscope for that day, or get you a special reading to find out, you know. And like she said, a lot of it has crept in the church in the form of some of these prophecies. You better be careful who you hear or listen to, because not everybody is of God. And if you got to pay for a prophecy, I think you may want to check something out. You may want to check it out. Because God, where you see in the Bible, the disciples, they did not charge for distributing the word of God. They didn't charge you. He said, "Freely we receive, freely we give." So be careful, be careful. At this time, I will turn the floor over to Minister Bobby, and he will come forth as the Lord gives him. He has a few scriptures he want to expound on. And then, like I said, after he bring forth the word of God, then we will open the phone lines and for you to call in, or if you have questions, if you have prayer, just feel free to call in. Minister Bobby.
Praise the Lord, saints. We want to thank the Lord for the word that has gone forth. And many, many things have been covered in reference to the deception of witchcraft. So not very much that I can really add, but we have to realize where we are in this day and time. We're living in perilous times. Deception is going forth never before. But one thing about the things of witchcraft, the things of sorcery, and everything that has to do with the devil is that the end result is always destruction. The end result is always death. And the end result is hell, basically. There's no in between. There's no guessing about it. If you're involved with witchcraft, divination, and anything of that nature, you will be lost if you don't repent. If you don't seek God and Christ as your Savior, you will be lost. If you continue in the vein of witchcraft and wizardry of any form. To give you some proof of that, I'm going to read a few scriptures to you coming out of 1 Samuel 28 through 19. This is a familiar scripture, familiar passage of scripture, but I wanted to bring some things out. 1 Samuel 8 and 8 says, "And Saul disguised himself and put on other raiment, and he went, and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night, and he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by the familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. And the woman said unto him, 9, behold, thou knowest what Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits and the wizards out of the land. Wherefore then layest thou a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul sware to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul. So you see what happened. In witchcraft, in divination, in necromancy, as Sister Montgomery said, they are not bringing up your dead relative. They are bringing up a devil, a demon, masquerading as your relative to deceive you and make you believe that that is your relative, when in actuality it is a familiar spirit. That is why that woman cried out, because she was used to bringing up demons and familiar spirits, not real people. So she cried out, and not only did she cry because she brought up Samuel, who was a prophet of God, but because Saul, before time, was doing what he was supposed to do and persecuting and killing witches because God told him to do so. Now, that is not done now because we are under the age of grace, but God's attitude towards sorcery is still the same. Now, I'm going to read a little more. And the king said unto her, be not afraid, for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw God ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, an old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceiveth that it was Samuel. And he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am so distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and answers me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee, that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Now, Saul was in a terrible, pitiful state because he had disobeyed the Lord to the point where he couldn't get answers from God himself. Neither would any prophets tell him anything. He couldn't get anything by dreams. And that's why he called on Samuel. And Samuel had gone to the place of paradise at that time. Samuel was gone, and he was in a place where God had prepared for him. But Saul was on the earth, and he was tormented because things wasn't going in his life the way it was supposed to, because he was disobedient to God, and God, in so many words, cut him off because of his disobedience, because he did not obey God. And this is what Samuel told Saul. Then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and has become thine enemy? Samuel told Saul, look, man, why are you calling on me and the Lord has departed from you and he's not on your side anymore? What do you expect me to tell you? Okay? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me, for the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to the Lord. In other words, God don't change his word. If he tells you something, he's going to do it. His word doesn't change. If he tells you something, you can't go anywhere else and get a different word from the word that God has given you. The Lord had told Saul that he was tearing the kingdom from him because he was disobedient and he didn't do what the Lord told him to do. Saul turned right around and went to pull Samuel up to try to get a different word. He got the same word that God gave him. It says, because thou obeyest not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek, therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee this day. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. Samuel told Saul, tomorrow you will die, and your sons. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. And what Samuel told Saul, tomorrow in battle, you're going to die, and Israel is going to fall into the hands of the Philistines because you were disobedient to God. And one thing I want to bring out about the Amalek was Amalek, they were into witchcraft also. They were into witchcraft, all kind of demonic activity. They worshiped the devil. They had false gods. And God told Saul to take them out, and he didn't do it. He didn't do it fully to what God told him to do it. And so as a result of that, he lost his estate of the kingdom of Israel. And he caused many Israelites to die because of his disobedience and his children. So you see, the reason I'm bringing this out is because when you start to deal in witchcraft and sorcery and divination, it goes down through your generation. It doesn't just hurt you individually, but it stays in your family until you get that broken off, until you get those spirits cast off of you, until you recant of that, until you put that under the blood, it's going to follow your family. That's why it's so dangerous. And then again, you open up your household to all types of demonic spirits and foul spirits that come and wreak havoc in your household. Now, 1 Samuel 15:23 reads, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. That was to Saul again. Now in 2 Kings 9:22, this is in reference to Jezebel and Jehu, Jezebel and Ahab. 2 Kings 9:22 says, and it came to pass when Joram saw Jehu that he said, is it peace, Jehu? And Jehu answered, what peace, so long as the whoredoms of thy mother Jezebel and her witchcrafts are so many? What they're saying, you really won't have any real true peace in witchcraft, divination, wizardry, all types of the occult. You won't have any true peace in that until you repent of those things, recant of all of that, and turn your life over to Jesus Christ. And he will break all that. He will break all that. And when he breaks all that, he will break everything that is affiliated and associated with that foul lifestyle. And another thing, too, that I would like to bring out, when you are involved in the occult, you think you have control over those spirits. But in all reality, you don't, because they will take you to hell. So who is ultimately in control? Who is ruling? You think you're using them, they're actually taking advantage of you, because they're putting you in a position in which you are separated from God. And the sad thing about it, many people don't realize that they're truly separated from God, because the enemy lies to them and gives them a false sense of hope, making them believe that when they are lost, or when they do go to hell, they're going to have some kind of kingdom in there, and they're going to be living it up. No, that's not the case. It's a lie. It's a huge lie. Amen. What we're going to do at this particular point in time, I'm going to open the phone lines. I'm going to open the phone lines, yes, to anyone who would desire to call in and have any type of questions or any type of thoughts that they may have in reference to the lessons that we just spoke on. And we'll be more than happy to help you in any way that we can. If someone would desire to come out of that particular lifestyle, we can help you in that area, introduce you to Jesus Christ, and come against the spirits that would be hindering you and causing havoc in your life. We'd be more than happy to help you with that. The phone lines are open.
Yes, can you hear me? Oh, I just wanted to elaborate on what you were saying. This is Ms. Sister Montgomery. But anyway, as you were saying, you know, a lot of times I know people say, they may say, well, I'm not into that type of witchcraft. But like we have said, it has crept into the body of Christ. So you have a lot of times Christians practicing things that is considered witchcraft. No, it may not be as blown out of proportion as, you know, doing the black magic and black arts and all this stuff. But like I said, it could be something as simple as just reading horoscopes. That's a door. That's a door that you have opened that you need to close. If you're doing it, stop reading horoscopes. I know it's easy to get caught up in. You know, it's easy to have somebody to foretell your future. You think it's fun. Sometimes you go to some of these fairs, you know, where they have, like, the tarot card reading, and you think it's all for fun. I mean, you can't even hardly cut on the TV without somebody putting that kind of, you know, information out there. So it's open. It's for anybody. So I'm saying a lot of times Christians is so naive that they sit up in the church because they don't read, because they don't know, because they don't think nothing will ever come up on me. Then you're wondering, why this hell is in my house? Why am I going through this? Well, he just said disobedient rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So it doesn't necessarily have to be you mixing up portions and things. You can be disobedient to the Spirit of God. God could be calling you. God is beckoning with you. He can be telling you, come. I'm standing at the door, knocking at the door of your heart. Are you going to open your heart unto me? A lot of Christians walking around in unforgiveness. I don't want to forgive. That's disobedient. Because God said if you don't forgive your brother, how can he forgive you? So we're walking in all this unforgiveness, going to church, lifting holy hands, but we say, oh, I'm not a witch. Well, you acting in disobedience. You acting in rebellion. Those are forms of witchcraft. So we need to search ourselves. We need to search our hearts and make sure that we're not letting any type of iniquity, any type of sin sit in our heart. Get rid of the unclean thing. And I don't mean just burning some books, witchcraft books, but that means falling on your face and saying, Lord, if I have offended you in any way, forgive me. I'm sorry. And if you have occasionally, you heard the lady in the testimony, she said Halloween was their best day, because a lot of times out of ignorance, pagan holidays, we let our children participate in this stuff. We put them up in the little witch costumes, and now we don't got so, you know, we say, well, we don't dress them up in Halloween costume, but we're just hallelujah saints. You're still out there with your children going from house to house, and what I have read is they pray over that candy that they give those children. Those witches pray over that candy, so when you go and say trick or treat, they're putting that spell on your child. Then you're wondering why they acting the way they act. Saints, we need to guard ourselves. What did we say last night? He is so subtle that he comes subtle, and when you're not even thinking, if you're sleeping, you know how you have the five wise, five foolish virgins, five of them slept. Okay, this is how the enemy comes in. Because when you should be praying and fasting and be on guard, you're somewhere, you know, with your sports and doing what you need to do. Now, who is watching your household? Who is watching your children? And it's not just the children. It's just even associations, people that we get around. We need to be careful. We need to gird up our heart and make sure that we're walking in the things of God. It's time to repent, saints. America, and it was saying that how since the 60s, and I read that witchcraft, all forms, and we told you about the different forms. You got your black magic, you got your paganism, but it is the fourth largest, fastest growing religion in the world. Can you see how Satan is really building up his army? So why don't we need to start building up God's army? Stop talking so much about money. Stop talking about so much as materialism. That's humanism. It's a form of new age, self-actualization. I can have it all. All I need to do is say, I believe in Jesus, and I can have it all. You can have your peace on earth. You can live like a king on earth. That ain't the Bible. Those lies, those are false prophets that's coming to bring you lies from the pits of hell. And we need to stand up. And we need to stop taking this garbage in the pulpit. We need to start seeing the miracles. If the preachers is not preaching the word of God, you need to get up out of there. Yeah, we coming hard tonight because it grieves my spirit to see so many of God's people being destroyed for lack of knowledge. They don't know. And no one is teaching them the right way. Only thing you're teaching them is how to get a dollar, how to get more junk. A lot of them got houses now that they don't even occupy part of the house, but you want a bigger house. You want a bigger car. You want more money. What is going on, saints? When we should be praying, when we should be interceding, we're out there running after junk. He said, these are the things that the heathen seek after. We don't need to be running after that stuff. God knows we have need of all this stuff even before we ask. We need to stop. We need to be repentant. We need to fall on our face because it's so easy to get caught up in this society. This whole society is materialistic, and they put these idols. What did I say about the idols? They put the idols up to make you look at them and lust after them and say, I got to be like him. I want to be like her. Well, what about, do you want to be like God? You look, I want to be like so-and-so. I want to be like him. What about being like God? I just wanted to bring that out. I didn't mean to, you know, preach, but I just wanted to bring that out. Amen? Okay. Well, the phone lines is open. If you want to call in, you can call in. If you need prayer, call in, you know, but God loves you. And this is why you hear the passion in our voice, because we don't want to come off as hard, but we want to let you know he loves you so much. He said he would that none would perish. He don't want you to perish. He wants you to just turn up from your sin and seek the Lord. That's all you have to do. And God will come into your heart. He loves you just that much. We are just vessels. We are, Brother Bobby and myself, we are just vessels for God. But somebody has to stand up. And I'm not saying we're the only ones out here, but when he put the call on our life, we answered to the call. And so we're just sounding the trumpet because we could see the deception going out over the land. And we cover all our other brothers and sisters that are standing out there on the front line who they work by day and they work by night, meaning that they have natural jobs they go to, but they want to get that word of God out there. And they're not bleeding your pocket. They're not flying around in Learjets. They don't do that, but it's to deliver your soul. If they have to be up all night casting a demon out of someone, that's what they'll do because that's how much they love you. So we don't take none of this for granted because we are God's servants and we're just answering to the call. So when God calls you and God is tugging at your heart and God is saying, look, I love you, just repent. Turn from your way, my child. I will come in right now. I will sup with you. So all you need to do is turn. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I repent of any spirits of divination, anything that I have practiced in the occult. I repent of it. And I ask you, Lord, to come into my heart, cleanse me, wash me. Do you have something to say, Brother Bobby? Did you have something to say? Well,
no,
yeah, you could talk.
No, the only thing I have to say at this particular point in time is that I thank God for everything that I've heard. And what Sister Montgomery was saying is right on point. We need to consider where we are and consider the things we need to do because we're living in dangerous times. The enemy has really stepped up his attack. And one thing about it is you always have victory in God. You always have victory in God. Don't you think, don't ever think that you're in something so deep that God can't get you out of it. God is in the delivering business. God is in the healing business. God is in the business of saving people's souls and pulling them out of despair and pulling them out of the mire and pulling them out of the filth of this world. If there's anyone out there who seeks to be set free from that foul spirit of witchcraft, we have 6 minutes left. You can call in. Or you can go to our website, KOGM.net, www.KOGM.net, and you can contact us through the email or through our message center there, and we'll be more than happy to contact you and help you in that area. But at this point in time, we're gonna pray. We're gonna end it. We're gonna give some words in reference to salvation. And you can do that. And I'm going to do that right now. I'm coming out of Romans 10, starting at the 8th verse. I'm going to go all the way down to the 10th verse. But, Romans 10 and 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And the scripture says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if there's anyone out there who is struggling with that, first thing you need to do is repent and be saved. And how do you do that? You confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. You say that. I confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and God has raised him from the dead. That's it. You confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God and that God has raised him from the dead, and you'll be saved. Then the next step is to repent, stop doing those different things, recant from all that witchcraft, burn up all your witchcraft paraphernalia, throw that stuff away, and go on in the Lord. And we'll be more than happy to help you with anything else that you're suffering with. Now, I would also like to also give some instruction on Brother Ramirez and his book, Out of the Devil's Cauldron, in which he's going to be here on October the 7th to give his testimony or perhaps give some knowledge or some words in reference to how to stay set free from Satanism and from witchcraft. And he's going to be here on the 7th. I would like everyone to listen in. We're going to do more advertising in that regard. But please listen in on the various shows and contact us, and we will be more than happy to help you in any area of your life in reference to God and Christ and in reference to whatever bondage you might be going through. Now, at this point in time, Father God, we thank you for the ministry on tonight. We pray, God, that this word has gone out to bless people, and we pray, Lord, that someone is being blessed and delivered and set free, and we look to see you next time in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen.
Then death was conceived. My heart got deceived, so I looked for a way.